The following talk was given at the Insight Meditation Center in Redwood City, California. Please visit our website at audiodharma.org.
So I thought this evening we could touch into some of the qualities that, some of the things that we actually want to be explicit about not including when we are opening to the love of metta or goodwill or kindness or friendliness, however you like to frame that word. And in particular, the qualities that are so common in our minds, just habits really, but you know, we have to be aware of them, are the aspects of judging and comparing and fixing. Sound familiar to anyone? These certain habits that come in. And I just want to name those as really being not what we would include in this quality of love. There isn't, love is somehow in a different realm, a different dimension, a different direction than the habits we have of judging or comparing or fixing. And so that puts those qualities in the realm of what we would want to renounce or let go of, not in a way that we are judging, comparing, or fixing in doing so, right? That's the rub. But I was inspired recently by, of all things, one of Shakespeare's sonnets, so many of which are about love, right? But of course, you know, he was maybe writing about romantic love, some of the time at least, but he knew more deeply other forms of love. And there's one that has this one Shakespeare sonnet that has this sweet little line that says, "Love is not love which alters when it alteration finds, or bends with the remover to remove." So it's Shakespearean English, right? So love is not love which alters when it alteration finds. So if you see something that needs to be changed, you know, that's the quality of, oh, this needs to be fixed. This needs to be changed. Let's, you know, let's tweak that so that it would be a little better. That's not what love is about. And then there's also the other side. Love doesn't bend with the remover to remove. So if we're in a relationship of love or we're loving ourselves, we don't agree when somebody comes in and says, you need to remove this. You need to not have this. We don't bend in that direction and say, oh, yes, you're right. I need to get rid of that. I need to fix that. I'm so sorry. I'll try to stop. And we're not talking about, you know, things that are genuinely harmful or something like that. But, you know, those little tweaks that we want to make, bending with the remover to remove. So there's an aspect of dignity to a loving relationship where we bring our whole self and we know that we're fine as we are. And that's part of being in this loving relationship, whether with ourself or someone else. So I liked these, you know, as usual, Shakespeare, the poetry captures it in such a short amount of space. So love is not love which alters when it alteration finds, or bends with the remover to remove. So judging, comparing, and fixing, we can keep an eye out for those in our practice, in our view of ourself, and in our life in general, maybe even what we're projecting outward into the world. How often are we doing that to other people in ways that aren't needed? That's not to say that we just flop over and accept everything as it is and never have any opinions or thoughts of our own. So that I want to name that there are skillful sides of each of these qualities, judging, comparing, and fixing, that don't partake of that ill will that's embedded in them. So those would be judiciousness, you know, discernment of some kind, not judgment, discernment, care, aspiration and emulation. instead of comparing. So we can compare ourselves negatively. Oh, I don't have that. I should have more of that. Or we can say, wow, I so admire the generosity of my friend. I'm going to be like that too. Not because I'm bad and worse now, not because they're so much more developed than I am, but just there's wise emulation of good qualities in our spiritual friends. That's one of the advantages of having spiritual friends, is that we surround ourselves with people who have the qualities we hope will grow in ourselves. So wise aspiration and emulation, different from comparing. Do you hear the difference? And then there's wise effort. There's fixing, and then there's the wise effort to let go of unskillful qualities and bring forth skillful ones. Why? Because it's good for us. It's good, makes us feel happy and healthy and wise, and it grows our practice and our path. So it's a whole different flavor, wise effort, than fixing. And I'm using my tone of voice to get across the difference. So love is not love, which alters when an alteration finds or bends with the remover to remove. So keep an eye out for these habits, just habits of judging, comparing, and fixing. And consider if they're even needed in the moment, or could we just accept? Could we be fine? Could we be content? Contentment is the greatest wealth, the Buddha said. Or if something is needed, can we incline toward judiciousness, aspiration, wise effort? And often the difference is in, how these things feel in our heart as we're doing them. So when we have metta, we will be judicious. We will emulate what is good around us. And we will naturally incline toward the effort that's relevant in the moment. So I offer this as a maybe an inspiration for our practice and our relationship, primarily with ourselves, I was thinking, but in our other relationships also, our family members and spiritual friends that we're connecting with. So let's sit together. Let's sit together. Finding a posture for meditation and allowing yourself to settle in. I'm just going to say a few words to orient us, and then we'll mostly sit in silence together with our beautiful Sangha. If you want, you can look at the screen just a bit before you settle in and close your eyes to see our group. It's always nice to do that. And then connecting in, maybe taking a few long, slow, deep breaths to prepare the mind and body and heart for sitting. And then allowing the breath to return to its natural state. Bringing the attention to the place where you're sitting, your seat against the chair or the cushion or the bench, or maybe you're standing or lying down, but just having a sense of your place, your spot, feeling balanced, grounded, where you're sitting. Maybe letting go a little more deeply into the seat, letting it support you, letting the earth ultimately be the support. Giving yourself over to the sitting posture. And allowing the spine to naturally straighten, lengthen, buoyed upward by our groundedness. When we're fully settled, the body naturally releases upward, feels light, letting the shoulders release, letting the face soften, letting the belly round out, soften. Letting go of tension in the arms and legs, the hands, if you've been typing or working. So just encouraging the body to be at ease. However it is fine, of course. We don't need to fix it. But inviting any sense of ease in the body that's available. And checking in now with the mind and the heart. How are you? How are you completely allowing everything to be included? Your fullness, your wholeness. For this evening, I'll invite bringing in a sense of sincerity. Your care for this practice, for this path, for yourself, for the other people in your life. The sincerity with which we sit, bring ourselves to the present moment. To whatever degree we are able right now. Certain dignity or uprightness, which is also part of metta. Love is not love, which alters when it alteration finds or bends with the remover to remove. So resting now in wholeness, care. Contentment. Okay, so we have an opportunity now, of course, for the breakout groups. If you'd like to stay for those, I encourage you to. And maybe a nice topic to bring in is how we distinguish whether we're in the side of judging, comparing, and fixing, or the skillful side of judiciousness, wise emulation, and wise effort. How do you know which one you're in? How do you move from one to the other if you're on the unskillful side? How do you move into the skillful side? That kind of aspect of practice. So I'm going to go ahead and get you started. Okay, enjoy. Okay, welcome back. Also, as usual, I'm inviting comments, questions, and Suzanne, you already have your hand up. Would you like to go ahead?
Yes, I'm eager. Thank you.
Okay.
Could you, I don't know if I'm even going to say this word correctly, but the judication, wise emulation, and wise effort. If I'm saying the word correctly, I don't understand the judication.
I think the word I tried to use there was judiciousness. As opposed to judgment or judgmentalism. And that has to do with wisdom. It has to do with discernment. Like, so if I say just sort of, across the board, we want to eliminate judgment in the mind. I would still like you to exercise judgment about, how many pieces of cake would be wise for you to eat after dinner. I'm giving kind of a simple example, but there are also things that are where judiciousness is needed. Should I tell this to my this difficult thing to my friend now or later, or not at all? And so there is, the need for some discernment there. Or, instead of judging, this person is bad and, they're, where we might bring in judgment of somebody, we might instead judiciously say, well, that action that they did was harmful and I'm going to need to tell them about that. But I also know that they're under a lot of stress right now, or I can see other conditions informing it. And so judiciously we decide, to cut them a little slack or to choose a right moment for something. So I wanted to kind of make a difference between judgment and judiciousness. Does that start to make some sense? Okay.
Yes, and I love the word discernment. So I love
Yeah.
it.
Okay,
Thank you.
great. But sometimes they say, that like aversion is the unskillful part, and when it matures, it becomes wisdom. And so judgment is part of aversion. And so, the judging mind can move toward being discerning. Thank you.
Thank you.
Great question. I'm sure other people had that question too. Okay, Izzy, your hand is up.
For me, when I'm being judgmental, I'm being more, I find myself being more emotional than I should be to the situation, and I gotta watch for that. But there are times where other people are being prejudiced or
Hang
emotional.
on. Okay, thanks. The other person muted. Go ahead, Izzy.
And you do have to stand up and say something. And I had this like situation in acting class where somebody was told somebody, "You're playing the prostitute." It was a Puerto Rican person. "You're playing the," I'm like, "No, she's not." And there are those moments. He's like, "No, she's playing the pro." "No, she's not." So there are those moments where you do have to stand up, and not just because if you just sit there, you're becoming part of the problem.
Right. I think that's somewhat what I was saying to Suzanne, is that there are times where we wisely realize that we need to either shift our way of seeing things so that we're not being judgmental, or we need to step up in some way if there's harm being done by others. The Buddha did say that there are moments where inaction is not compassionate. And we have to take action to be compassionate or wise. So I would agree with that. I think, though, maybe the tone matters quite a lot. So if we're going to step in and redirect or correct or stop something that is harmful, there's a way to do it that is aversive, and there's a way to do it that is with a heart of loving kindness. And that's harder, but it can be done. So the tone of voice when you say, "No, you're not," matters in how it lands for the other person. Does that make sense?
No, she's not. He was wanting her to play a typical Puerto Rican. So no, I said no, she's not. She's not playing.
Okay, so you had more context in the situation than I do, of course, just hearing about it. So I'll trust your judgment on that. But yeah, I'm affirming that there it's a tricky territory, and that's why it's worth talking about and pondering in our practice. Thank you for bringing that up. Is that complete? How does that land for you? Okay. And I saw another hand, a Jerry. Yeah.
Sorry, it's coming in late at the end here, but quickly. So, my understanding that judgment is the unskillful side of judicious action or inaction.
It's what happens when it gets mixed with ill will or fear or anger or some other unskillful emotion.
Okay, thank you.
Yeah. Audrey.
Yes, thank you. Really quick. Can you repeat the comment that you made or the quote of Buddha on contentment?
He said, "Contentment is the greatest wealth."
Thank
That's from
you.
the Dhammapada. Yeah, contentment is the greatest wealth. It's worth reflecting on, what that really means. Yeah, because again, it's not one of those glib statements that we would just apply across the board, but there's a way it has a depth to it. Yeah. Thank you for asking. Yeah. Well, folks, we're at an hour for our happy hour, and so I think we'll say goodbye for the evening, but I really appreciate your participation and your sincerity and your presence. Thank you, everyone, for coming, and have a wonderful weekend.
Thank you.
Thank
Bye-bye.
you.
Thank you, Kim.
Thank you,
Thank you, everyone.
Thank you, Kim.
Thank you, Kim.
Bye.
Thank you, Kim. Thank you, everyone.
Bye, everybody.